them and invite them to come and be with us whenever you have the opportunity. You're always very welcome. I'm speaking a little softer this morning because, as you know, I had surgery for a kidney stone a few weeks ago, and evidently the trach that they put down has irritated my vocal cords. Called to make an appointment to see a doctor. Can't get in until November the 9th. But I'm going to call every day. Been calling every day to see if they have a cancellation. That hasn't been successful yet. But in the meantime, I'm trying to follow orders to not speak at all, which is next to impossible, of course. So I'm trying to just be very careful with it. You know, I preached both sermons last Sunday. That proved not to be smart. The first part of the week was pretty difficult. But I've got a few therapies that I'm trying with some herbal things and a tea that seems to be helping a lot. So I'm hopeful that by the time November 9th gets here or before that, I won't even have to go see the doctor. But hopefully these things will heal, and the sooner the better. In the meantime, men in the congregation have been gracious enough to offer to preach the evening sermon, and so I'm thankful for that. Tonight, Larry will be preaching. He did an excellent job a couple of weeks ago. He always does, and I look forward to hearing him speak tonight. But this morning, I want to direct your attention, begin with Acts chapter 6 and verse 7, where it says, "Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith." One short verse, but there's a lot that we learn in this one verse. One, the first thing I notice is that when the word of God is spread, the number of disciples is multiplied. Sometimes we wonder, why isn't the church growing any faster than it is? Well, are we spreading the word? Are we sharing the word of God with others? The other thing I notice here is that when the word of God is spread, the faith is obeyed. It says a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. It's important that we recognize this little article, the. The word "the" is defined as a definite article. It is a special kind of adjective which points to a particular or specific time, person, place, or thing. So this is the faith. I'm not talking about a faith or some faith or your faith or my faith. We're talking about the faith, objectively the faith. So this morning I want to talk about being obedient to the faith. The priest here says we're obedient to the faith, just as, of course, it's necessarily inferred, that the disciples being multiplied, they were being obedient to the faith also. It just takes particular note of the fact that many of the priests in Jerusalem, these would be men who had called for Jesus to be crucified, who stood against him, and now are hearing the word of the faith and are being obedient to the faith. The source of the faith is, of course, the word of God, as we notice here in the first part of the verse. The word of God spread, and they were obedient to the faith. That goes right along with what we notice in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, "So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Any faith, anything you believe, anything you trust, anything you act upon, comes by hearing. You heard somebody say it. You read it somewhere. Maybe it was a thought that just came into your mind. And you trust it and you act upon it. That's faith. But the faith comes by hearing the Word of God. It's important that we recognize that, because we're not talking about just some faith, your faith, my faith, their faith, our faith. We're talking about the faith that's been delivered by God in His Word. Here's some other observations that we can have about the faith. And that is that it comes by hearing the Word of God, and that it supersedes the law of Moses. The faith supersedes the law of Moses. We're no longer under the Mosaic law. Galatians 3 and verse 23, there's many passages that we can turn to prove this point, but these few verses, I think, very succinctly make that point. It says, before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, speaking of the Mosaic law, kept for the faith, which would afterward be revealed. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith that would afterward be revealed. I guess I doubled up on that a little bit, but verse 24, therefore the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Not the tutor, we're not justified by the tutor, we're not justified by the law, we're justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under the tutor. For you are all the sons of God, not through the Mosaic law, not through the covenant made with Abraham. You are all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Verse 27, of course, is very important, because it is just one demonstration of our obedience to the faith. Jesus instructed his apostles to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. Matthew 16, verses 16 and 17. So when we hear this word of faith, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we are obedient to it, being baptized for the remission of our sins, being baptized into Christ, being baptized into his death to rise to walk in newness of life with him, as many of you as are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Notice he says that is an expression of, it is a demonstration of the fact that you are a child of God. You are all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, through hearing what Christ taught, practicing his doctrine. We are then practicing the faith that comes by hearing the gospel of Christ, and we are demonstrating such in so doing. Another observation is that the faith has been revealed, that has been revealed, is commonly known as the gospel. Paul made this point in Romans 1 and verse 16. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. How do we hear about the gospel? Through the Word of God, through the faith that comes by hearing the Word of God. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It's been delivered to all. It is available to all. But it will only save, notice, it will only save those who believe. And the word believe here is in the comprehensive sense. It's not just the affirming that, well, yeah, I believe that. It's in the sense of, I believe that, I trust that, I'm acting on that, I'm doing what the gospel teaches, whatever it says. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Another observation is that the faith, not the law of Moses, contains the conditions of salvation that govern the saints. In Jude, verse 3, we read, "Beloved, I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation." Now, what he's talking about there in regards to our common salvation, that prior to the faith being revealed, and in the time of the Mosaic Law was given to the children of Israel, the nation of Israel. They practiced the Mosaic Law, and that made them the children of Israel, the children of God. They were in a covenant relationship with God. Well, what about everybody else? Well, everybody else was still under what we refer to as the patriarchal law, the law that Adam and Eve and all of their descendants, all other nations of people, heard what the fathers taught them. And so you find a similarity, even in cultures today, of morality and those types of things, because it all goes back to the patriarchal law. So there was a law for everybody else, and there was a law for Israel. But now we have a common salvation, both Jew and Gentile, all other nations. He says, "I write to you concerning our common salvation. I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you that you contend earnestly," notice, "contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints." As Jesus and the apostles delivered the faith of the gospel in the first century, it was delivered once for all time. There are no changes to it. There are no modifications to it. Although there have been those, even in the first century, who attempted to modify the faith as it had been delivered, such modifications were noted as being evil. Galatians chapter 1 is one such verse. He says, "I marvel that you're so removed unto another gospel." And you can put that in air quotes. Now that's what people do today. When they come up with modifications to the faith, they say, "Well, this is another gospel." Now, there is no other gospel, which is not another, he would go on to say. But there are those who pervert the gospel of Christ. And so when we try to modify or make changes to what God has delivered to us in the faith that we find in the New Testament, we are doing a great disservice to ourselves and to those that we are teaching this modification to. We are perverting the gospel of Christ, not modifying it. We don't have the authority to do that. The faith, notice here, was once for all time delivered to us. It has been preserved for us, somewhat rather almost miraculously, but certainly demonstrably by the providence of God. His word has been preserved. Sometimes people make the challenge and say, "Well, how do we know that what we're reading here in our Bibles is what was actually said and wrote back there in the first century?" And that's a good question. I believe it's even an honest question. I hope it's an honest question. Sometimes I think the question or the charge is made not really from the standpoint of honesty, but even if it's an honest question, it deserves an honest investigation. Don't think that it's a rhetorical question, because it's not. Many, many copies in the first century were made of these original documents. And many of those copies have been found. And they have been compared, one copy to another. Not only that, but there have been different translations into other languages of the originals. Those translations have been compared to the original and to what we know about the translations of those times. And so in all of this, we find an honest investigation finds that the Bible we have in front of us today, for the most part, if it is actually a word-for-word translation, not an interpretation, but a translation of the original, it is genuine to the original. And so we can indeed verify, even today and especially today, that this faith was once for all delivered to us, and God has preserved it so that we might know His will and that we might be His children. For our faith to be the faith, we must obey the word of the gospel. And so what I mean by that is that a lot of times when we find the word faith, we'll find it in the sense of a belief. It's what I believe. But the Bible goes on, and the Word of God goes on to explain that what we believe does us no good unless we do what is taught in what we believe. That is from God's Word. Notice with me, if you will. James chapter 1, verses 21 through 25. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. The word of God is here. When we implant it into our hearts, when we take it into ourselves and we allow it to germinate and grow, we indeed recognize, as we talked about last Sunday, we need to repent. We need to turn from our sin. We need to turn from ourselves. We need to be dead to our carnal self and be alive to the divine nature that God has called us to. Lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But now notice, be doers of the word, and not only hearers, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. He observes himself, he goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. In what he does. And so there's so many things that we can talk about here. You have a whole sermon just on these few verses. But notice he says, continue in the perfect law of liberty. How many times have we noticed John chapter 8 and verse 31, where Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you will know the truth. You are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The truth, the revelation of the faith, God's word will make us free. If we abide in His word, we will know the truth, and the truth will make us free. So indeed, it is the perfect law of liberty. Notice he says, and continues in it. That means that he practices it. He doesn't continue just to study, to know what it is, but he knows what it is so that he might do it. He being not a forgetful hearer, not only a hearer, but more importantly, a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Notice, who will be blessed? Not just the hearer, not simply the knower of the word, but the one who is a doer of the word. Someone recently said to me, you know, the faith just isn't working for me. You know, it just seems like being a Christian just isn't working for me. There's a reason for that. The faith will not work for you until you work the faith. You have to be a doer of this faith, not just a learner, not just a knower, not just a believer, but a doer of this, what the Word of God teaches us to do. So we need to be obedient to the faith, but we need to be obedient to the practice of the faith. Notice, as you continue in James 2 and verses 17 through 20, thus also faith by itself, that is, okay, you believe it, you've learned it, you might be studying it, you completely agree that it's the truth, but all of that knowledge by itself does not save you. If it does not work, it's dead. Someone will say to you, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe there is one God? You do well. The demons also believe and tremble. The demons believe that there is one true God. The demons believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The demons believe that there is no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved but in the word of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ. The demons believe all of that, but they do not honor Him. They do not serve Him. They will not obey Him. And friend, if you're here this morning and you believe all of that to be true, but you are not obeying Him, you are not serving Him, you are in the same category as the demons. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Do you want to know, O foolish man, faith without works is dead. It's good that you know the truth, but now you need to put it to use in your life and practice that which it teaches us. In verse 24, he goes on to say, you see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only, not just by learning and knowledge of the truth, but by working the truth. Verse 26, he says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Have to work it, or it's dead. It's useless, lifeless. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. Very important passage of Scripture. Notice he says, by this we know. Now I want you to compare some things here. He says, by this we know. It's not by this we feel, by this we think. And people say a lot of times, I feel that I'm a child of God. I feel that I'm saved. I think I'm okay with God. God's word doesn't use that kind of description. God says, by this we know, with absolute confident certainty. By this we know that we know Him. If we keep His commandments, not if we know His commandments, not if we believe His commandments, but if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this, we know that we are in him. So, friend, it's very easy this morning. Are you saved? Do you know God? Have you learned this word of truth, this deliverance of the faith, to where it is your faith, not just academically in knowing it, but you are practicing it in your life? By this you know that you are in him, if you keep his commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Are you? Are you keeping his commandments? The gospel was delivered to us. The good news of salvation, of how to turn from our sins and to turn to God. Hebrews 5 and verse 9 says, having been perfected, Jesus Christ, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Not all who just know about him, but all who obey. He is the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Have you obeyed him? 1 Peter 4 and verse 17 says, the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. What is the house of God? It's the church. It's the body of the saved. Judgment is going to begin with those who are saved. And if it begins first with us, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel? That's a rhetorical question. If those who are in the house of God, in the family of God, in Christ, if they are going to be judged and saved by the mercy of God, what about those who are outside of Christ? Rhetorical question. They're outside of the realm of hope. Have you obeyed the gospel? And are you continuing to obey the gospel? 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 through 8. You who are troubled, rest with us. If you're troubled about your sin, about your spiritual condition, if you're troubled about the fact that you are not practicing the faith that is in Christ Jesus, you have heard about him, you believe in him, you're thinking about turning from your sin to him, please follow through with that. Confess him as the Son of God and be baptized for the remission of your sins and continue to abide in his word. Notice he says, you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them who know not God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel that is delivered in the word of God, the faith. Practice the faith. Turn to him. Know him. You can know that you are in him if you just simply obey him. Would you do so this day? If you're not a child of God, if you haven't been born again, born of the water, born of the Spirit, if you haven't been baptized into Christ, but you believe in him, you're ready to turn from yourself, to follow him, to live for him, you might say, well, I don't know what all that involves. Well, every incident of conversion that you find throughout the book of Acts, they are in the same condition that you are in right now. They didn't know, but they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And you will too. and you will grow in the faith. Not only in a knowledge of it, but in the practice of it. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, if you haven't been baptized for the remission of your sins, everything is ready here today. And if you're ready, we're ready to assist you. If you're here as a child of God, you're out of favor with Him, you know the faith, but as you're honest with yourself, you say, I'm not working the faith. And you need to get to work. James tells us to confess our faults to one to another. Pray for one another that you might be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If you're subject to the invitation today, would you please come as we stand and sing this?